The Golden Age of Radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the Golden Age of Radio, Don Douglas stars as John Steele Adventurer. We'll also hear a chapter of Carolyn Day Detective, and Russell Thorson, Jim Bowles, and Tony Rando are featured in I Love a Mystery from 1949. Stay tuned for the Golden Age of Radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, Carolyn Day Detective, and the case of the Million Dollar Curse on I Love a Mystery, starring Russell Thorson, Jim Bowles, and Tony Rando. Right now, Don Douglas stars as John Steele Adventurer on an episode entitled Cargo Unknown from 1949, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Take one man with the courage born of freedom and another with the strength born of hate. Put them in an open boat with a beautiful woman. That's the story, Cargo Unknown, taken from the files of John Steele, adventurer.
Hello, friends. This is John Steele. And how are you tonight?
Oh, is that so?
Well, don't worry. We'll take care of that for you. Because this week, friends, we have another tale of adventure. This is one of those unusual stories. A yarn that leaves you doing some serious thinking. And a lot of wondering, too. So I suggest that you relax for a moment before I introduce this week's guests. The reason? A simple one. Once my friend Lou Cardone starts his story, you'll find it very difficult to relax. Well, enough of me. Here is Lou Cardone, a man with an aeroplane and ideas. Lou?
You've heard the old saw about strange bedfellows. Well, I've got one that really takes a cake. I guess it started right after I came home from the war. Been a fighter pilot with the 8th in England for 2.5 years and finally got relieved after my 71st mission. A little flak happy, but who wasn't? I couldn't settle down. Still wanted that old excitement. One day I read in the paper where XGIs could pick up surplus ships for a song, and that started me thinking. Scraped up all I could, bought me a sweet little twin-engine trainer, and I was in business. Jobs were slow at first, but I wasn't fussy as long as there was money in it. Well, one day I was out in the hangar cleaning up the ship. Pressure went out on the hydraulic system the night before, and I had to crank the flaps and landing gear down by hand. I was checking to find the leak where I was losing pressure.
Are you Lou Cardone?
Huh?
Sorry, mister. Can't hear you.
I said, are you Mr. Cardone?
Wait a minute. Hey, Cutter, Joe. Yeah. Cutter!
What did you say?
I said, you're Mr. Cardone, are you not?
Yeah, it's me.
I would like to talk to you.
Okay, mister.
No, I do not mean here, outside someplace.
Sorry, mister, I haven't got the time.
I assure you it will be worth your while.
Oh, that way, huh? Okay.
Break it, Joe. Be back in a minute.
Right.
Follow me.
Thank you.
Didn't catch your name.
I didn't say it.
Well?
Gunther, Joseph Gunther.
Okay, Mr. Gunther, what's on your mind?
I hoped we could find someplace more private.
I've made a lot of deals standing right here.
Very well. I followed your career with great interest, Mr. Cardone.
Get to the point.
You are a very capable young man.
I go on.
Your advertisement in the paper first attracted my attention.
Yeah?
The Anything Anywhere airline.
That's just a name I got tagged with.
I went to the trouble of having you investigated.
Well?
By my own man, of course. we discovered several things of interest.
Such as?
On March 2nd, you loaded a cargo of bowls of assorted materials. Your destination was recorded as Municipal Airport, Chicago. At 5:30 on the afternoon of the 23rd, you landed at a small airport outside of Las Cruces, Mexico, and made delivery to a representative of the Rogers Packing Company.
So what's wrong with flying material to Mexico?
Your cargo was not assorted materials. Rolled inside the bowls were art treasures, valued at over $100,000.
Your men are pretty efficient.
The order was placed through me. On the 18th, you loaded a cargo of canned fruit. Same destination and deliver.
Another of your orders?
Yes. Scattered through the cans and sealed inside them was over $1 million in jewels and precious stones. Shall I go on?
You've made your point. What's next?
We had to be sure of our man, Mr. Cardoon. Very sure.
The cargoes were delivered.
And you were well paid.
Well?
The next delivery is to Argentina.
Hey, that's a long hop. What's a cargo?
A man. Will 10,000 be enough?
Pretty important guy, eh?
Yes.
Why is he so hot?
Let us say he has disagreed with the authorities.
I like money, but I like free air, too.
20,000.
Argentina. It's a lot of open water flying. I'd need wing tanks. That means questions. No, I don't like it. You better find
I have gone this far, Mr. Cardone. I cannot take no for an answer.
You've got the wrong boy, Mr. Gunther. Sorry,
I don't like to have to point out that I have a complete record of your activities over the past year. The administration would find it interesting reading, I'm sure.
The publicity will look good on you, too.
I've been careful about that. You underestimate me.
So it's that way?
Yes.
20 grand?
When can you leave?
There's a lot to be done. End of the week.
No later. I will get in touch with you about the details.
Okay.
I knew you would see this my way, Mr. Cardone.
Yeah. Yeah. I worked round the clock for the next few days, canceled all my other jobs, and just stuck close to the hangar. I had to work 30 hours a day for 20,000 bucks. A lot of the stuff could be done during daylight without starting too many questions, but I did most of the important work at night. It was the old excitement, just like the war days. I installed the wing tanks and checked the ship from stem to stern. Then I moved in all the equipment, picked up a 12-foot life raft, and was careful to see it was completely outfitted. Wasn't taking any chances. It was all set in 4 days. And Gunther phoned and set 5 o'clock the next morning as takeoff time.
You are punctual, Cardone.
20 grand, I'd miss my own funeral.
There's no time to waste. These are your passengers.
You said one.
It does not matter. There are two.
Well, the ship's heavy as she stands.
It will make it.
But a woman,
I'm not afraid.
Okay, in you go. I hear. Let me help you.
I'm quite capable, thank you.
Have it your own way. Your turn, Mr.
Stender.
Can he talk?
The bandages, a precaution.
He must be hot. Now, bag's next. This one stays too heavy.
It must go.
You want us to pile up at the end of the field?
Does not matter, Gunther.
Very well, madame.
I'll be back for my 20,000.
I will contact you when you return.
Now, see that you do. You want to come up front for the takeoff, miss? Or is it, madam?
Miss. Miss Tauber. Yes, thank you. I would like to.
Well, maybe this won't be such a bad jaunt after all.
Beg your pardon?
Oh, nothing. There, you sit in that one. You make it okay? Good. Hang on, Miss Tauber. Here we go. Wave goodbye to your boyfriend. Come on, baby, lift a little. Come on, sugar, act nice for Pappy.
Will we make it?
Your guess is as good as mine. Come on, you old hag. Gotta do better than this.
Watch out for those trees.
Oh, that's my sweetheart. Knew you wouldn't let me down. You ever have that funny feeling that you've seen or met a total stranger someplace before? That was my reaction to Stender the first time I saw him. I couldn't pin it down to any particular time or place. It wasn't anything as concrete as that. We'd been in the air for about 6 hours when I put the ship on automatic pilot and went aft. You comfortable, Mr. Stender?
Quite, Mr. Cardon.
Must be a relief to get those bandages off.
They served their purpose.
The water looks beautiful from up here, like burnished metal.
I've seen that color before.
Where?
On the barrel of a rifle or a revolver, like Mr. Stender has under his jacket.
You think I am armed, Mr. Cardon?
A bottle's the only other thing make a bulge like that. You don't look like a drinking man.
You object, then, to my carrying a revolver?
Hadn't given him much thought.
But you object.
I don't have one.
Very well. You shall keep the cartridges. I shall hold the weapon.
How do I know that's all the shells you have?
In the same way that I know you are unarmed.
Okay.
You have done a great deal of flying, Mr. Cardon.
Enough.
You flew during the war.
Yeah.
Combat.
71 missions.
Pacific?
Europe.
So. Then you are responsible for the destruction of a great many German cities.
Not directly. I was a fighter pilot.
So? You have shot down many aircraft?
16 and 2 probables.
Probables?
Not recorded by my wing cameras.
You must have been well rewarded by your country.
Never thought of it that way.
I always found your army system of awards and decorations a bit amusing.
We did all right.
But then you weren't professional soldiers.
We won the war, didn't we?
Yes, you did.
The motors.
Sounds bad. If I can just get her to catch again. Gotta set her down. Back to your seats, fasten your belts.
But I
try to lay her in easy.
Can you land
get back to your seat. Lucky water's smooth. Up a hair. That's it. Now easy. Now easy.
Hang on!
Everyone comfortable?
Yes, thank you.
Raft's not the Queen Mary, but it'll keep afloat.
That was excellent flying, Cardon.
Oh, we were lucky if the water hadn't been
that
smooth.
That was not luck. That was, what is it, fate.
Maybe.
Did you have time to radio our position?
No.
But surely a ship will pass this way.
Regular shipping channels are about 150 miles west of us. I figure we're drifting about due southwest.
The sail will help some.
Yeah, if the weather holds, we might drift into shipping lanes in 10 to 12 days.
Have we enough food?
I stocked the raft for 2.
What does that mean?
Have to be careful. It won't be like the stork.
The stork?
Oh, nothing.
Do many aircraft fly this route?
Can't count on that.
No, I suppose they follow the shipping lanes, too.
That's right.
Well, we'll just have to make the best of it.
Sun is terribly hot.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here, let me rub some ointment on your face.
You've thought of everything.
It's part of the crash equipment.
Is there enough?
We have one tube.
That is not very much.
Faces get tough in a few days. Won't need it then.
It is cooling.
You have a lovely face.
Covered with oil?
Even that way.
You should use some.
I don't need it.
Very charming, Mr. Cardon, if somewhat foolhardy.
Mr. Cardon was not trying to be charming.
Gallantry is a luxury he cannot afford.
That is contemptible.
The truth is often contemptible, Lisa.
You'd better use some, Stender.
Thank you.
Your face is quite white.
What do you mean, Cardon?
I don't know.
Are you implying that there is anything unusual about my face?
Why should I? Hey, when'd you eat last, beautiful?
4 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, it's 12 hours.
Yes.
Okay, time for lunch,
I can wait.
Yeah, we'll eat now. Won't be much, though.
I am hungry.
Now, let's see. Must be something good on the menu.
I'll see if I can catch the waiter's eye.
They have very good steaks here.
I'm not really that hungry.
No? Well, how about a nice third of a bar of chocolate, a biscuit, and a swallow of water?
That's exactly what I wanted.
Stender?
Thank you.
Oh, how's it taste?
Wonderful. I love that musty taste in the chocolate.
Army specialists work years to develop it.
You're not eating, Mr. Stender.
I may have greater need of it tomorrow.
Maybe you won't need it at all. Tomorrow. The first few days weren't so bad, but after that it was pretty tough to take. Sun was blistering hot during the day, and we were chilled to the bone at night. We tried to keep the raft bailed out, but our clothes were always wet. By the third day, our legs were covered with ugly sores from the salt water. The ointment was all gone by the fourth day, but it didn't matter much because our faces and arms were as tough and dry as leather. We set up a system of watches, so one of us would always be awake while the other slept. I was standing watch on the sixth night. The sea was calm and the moon was bright. Hungry?
A little.
You have to wait for Stender.
Yes.
Wouldn't be fair.
No.
Someday I'll buy a whole cow.
Don't, Lou.
Sorry. He sure is a funny one.
Funny?
Peculiar. Keeps to himself so much.
That's the way he wants it to be.
He's learned a lot about me.
So have I.
I know nothing about him.
No.
Sometimes I want to hit him for no reason at all.
I know.
He never seems to be as hungry or as thirsty as we are.
He's more careful with his food.
Yeah. How can he sleep so well?
I don't know.
The minute he lies down, he's asleep.
He knows how to relax.
Doesn't anything bother him?
No.
I have the feeling he's laughing at me all the time.
You imagine that?
No, I don't. I'm not the kind of guy who goes around hitting people for no reason.
I know.
Someday it... How'd you get mixed up with him?
Please don't ask.
Family?
Yes.
Oh. Tell me about yourself, Lisa.
What do you want to know?
I don't know where you were born, what you were like when you were little, what you believe in. Anything, everything.
You sound like the immigration authorities.
Didn't mean to.
I was born in Vienna on August 8th, 1920, which makes me 28.
29?
Not till August.
Okay.
When I was 14, I was sent to live with my aunt in the United States and finished my education in American schools.
Lucky.
Why?
Because we can talk to each other.
I went back to Austria in the early days of the war.
Why?
I thought I should.
Go on.
The rest isn't nice.
I want to know.
It isn't important.
Okay. What do you believe in?
Myself.
That all?
I don't know.
Okay. Okay. I lost track of time. What difference did it make? As near as I could figure, we'd been in the raft for 10 or 11 days. It was close enough. Our water was almost gone. Our food supply was running low. We used the fishing lines from the crash kit every day, but nothing ever happened. Lisa showed the strain more than Stender and me, and I began sharing my chocolate and biscuits without her knowing. Stender knew and smiled. It was Stender's watch in the 11th day. I was sleeping lightly when I woke with a start and remembered the cartridges from his revolver. I slipped my hand into my pocket, and they were gone. I had no idea how many days they'd been missing.
You've lost something, Cardon?
No. No.
I thought I saw you looking
it
for...
It was nothing.
I must have imagined it then.
Yeah. Clouds ahead.
You've seen many such before. They never brought rain.
These are cumulus.
Cumulus?
Rain-bearing.
Perhaps.
If it would only rain.
It would help.
Sorry we woke you, Lisa. Oh,
I was only half asleep.
You feel all right?
Yes.
Here, just wet your mouth with this.
You're getting careless, Cardon.
There's not enough, Lou.
Hey, take it.
Thank you. How is your sunburn?
It's okay.
You're lucky.
Why?
Your beard gives you some protection.
It's funny.
What, Lou?
No beard.
Do not understand.
Stander.
What do you mean, Cardone?
White skin. No beard.
You have suggested before that there's something unusual about my face.
And maybe there is.
I told you to forget.
It's all right, Lisa. I'm just beginning to wake up.
How is it? Skating on thin ice, Cardon.
How would you say it in Germany?
These are dangerous words, Cardon.
I don't care. No. Leave us alone, Lisa.
It's raining.
We gotta have this out. Rain.
Rain.
So cool.
Good.
No. No, just a shower.
Go like that.
The sail. Get the sail down.
Drink.
The sail. Catch it in the sail.
Catch the sail.
Stretch it out.
Pull the canteen.
Yes.
Dip it in a little tender. Look out, you're spilling it.
Now it's coming.
Oh. Oh. We were able to fill one canteen and a half, another before the rain stopped, but that was enough to keep us alive for a few more days. A lot of things were beginning to get straightened out in my mind. I was sure now that I'd seen Stender before, the peculiar whiteness of his skin and the lack of hair. Well, if that wasn't plastic surgery, I'd never seen it. I knew I had to be careful because he still had the revolver and the cartridges. It was the 14th or 15th day in the raft. I was half awake. Lisa was bending over me, shielding my face from the sun.
Mr. Stender says you've been sharing your food with me.
Huh? What'd you tell her that for?
I hoped she would see you for what you are.
It's true. It's true.
Now, don't waste your strength, Lisa.
Oh, silence, both of you.
No. No.
Silence.
What's the gun?
Silence.
No.
Up there, a bird. If I can just
don't get... shoot yet.
Getting closer.
Wait.
Circling.
Looking for food.
Coming down.
Not yet.
Sees us?
Yeah.
Coming for the raft.
Wait till he lands.
There.
Right on the raft.
Don't.
Careful.
One shot.
As if you hit the raft.
I am an excellent shot, Cardon.
Got him. Got him.
No.
Food, Lisa, food.
Never any doubt.
Yeah, lucky you had the gun.
Superior mind must do as it thinks best.
Got to take care of the bird.
I thought I detected a note of alarm, Cardon.
Huh?
Yeah, you thought perhaps I had some other use for the revolver?
No, no.
My imagination, perhaps.
You know what this means, Stender?
Means?
Yeah, the bird.
You're safe for another few days.
Besides that...
Well?
We're getting near shipping lane, Stender.
So?
We may get through this.
Yes.
First thing I do will be turn you in.
So?
One thing you can't stand. Be beaten.
You're talking bravely. Considering I have the revolver, my captain. Oh, was it Major?
Colonel Private. Or was it Corporal?
How long do you think you can stand this, Cardon?
As long as you can.
One of us must fall asleep in the end.
It'll be you.
I'm stronger than you.
Maybe.
I've been more careful with my food.
Yeah.
It's been what? 18, 19 hours.
I guess so.
And now you are beginning to tire.
No.
Splash some water on your face. It will help keep you awake.
Shut up.
Look at Lisa. Lisa's sleeping. It would be so easy. Just close your eyes.
Shut up.
Your patience is wearing thin, Kazan.
You can't last forever.
You should not allow yourself to become so upset. It uses valuable energy.
I don't get it.
Get it?
This cat and mouse business.
Perhaps I am enjoying myself.
How?
Proving to you conclusively that I am your superior in every way.
So this is what it was all about.
About?
The war.
Your eyes are heavy, Cardon.
Huh?
You'll not last much longer.
Okay.
Another hour at the most.
Shut up,
sir. So easy. Just close eyes. Never wake up.
No, you careful.
It's all right, Lisa.
Give water.
Here, baby. Drink this.
Give food. Give water.
You could use that water more than she.
Give food. Give water.
Can't last forever. Not in.
Stand.
All right.
Eyes heavy.
Shrine horn.
Can't last forever.
Superior.
Gonna get the gun.
Stay back.
Gonna beat you.
Superior.
Gonna turn you in. Life.
Superior.
Gonna beat you. Beat you. Beat you. Gotta get his gun. Get his gun. Got it. Got it. Gotta throw it. Throw it. You and me now. You and me. Beat you, Superman. Beat you. Whistle. Heard whistle. Can't see. Whistle. Ship must be ship.
Yeah.
Ship. There's a stander. Ship. There's ship. Stander. Stander. There's ship. American.
Coming out of it. Take it easy, son. Here. Drink this.
Everything's all right.
Thanks.
Lie back and rest, son. You're going to be all right.
Lisa. Lisa.
She's safe, too. You're going to be okay.
Where am I?
On board my ship. I'm John Steele, skipper.
Oh. Lisa's safe.
Yes. You're both coming along fine.
Both?
Lucky we picked the two of you up when we did.
Two?
Yes. You were both unconscious when we got to you.
Two?
Yes. It's a funny thing. When I first picked you up with my glasses, I thought I saw three people on the raft. But when we got close enough to lower a boat, there was just you and the girl.
Couldn't take a beating.
Pardon?
Nothing.
Yes. Now, you just lie back and take it easy.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, just one thing more.
Yeah?
I've been holding up my radiogram till you came around.
Yeah?
Any casualties to report?
No. No casualties.
No. I didn't think so. By the way, we found this in your pocket. Thought you might like to have it.
Oh, what is it?
A ring.
Thanks.
Indian good luck charm, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Superman.
John Steele, Adventurer, is produced by Robert Monroe, written and directed by Elliot Drake. Don Douglas is featured as John Steele. Also in tonight's cast were Ross Martin, Connie Lemke, and Earl George. The orchestra was conducted by Sylvan Levin. Sound by Walt Shaver. Remember, next week, Mutual presents Kid Brother, another story of suspense and action from the files of John Steele, Adventurer. Ted Malley speaking. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
You're listening to The Golden Age of Radio and an episode of John Steele Adventurer, starring Don Douglas, first broadcast on radio on July 12, 1949. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s, when The Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. In a moment, I Love a Mystery in the Million Dollar Curse from 1949, starring Russell Thorson, Jim Bowles, and Tony Randall. Right now, here's a chapter of Carolyn Day Detective as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Day Detective.
Kidnapped me and took me to their boss. Bugsy tried to help me escape, so the boss ordered Luke to watch Bugsy. I was left alone for a moment and, discovering a phone in the room, called Larry and just had time to tell him I was being held by Northrop C. Anderson when Mr. Anderson returned and thanked me for making the call. He said it was just what he wanted me to do. And then Luke ran in and declared someone had broken into the apartment. Mr. Anderson ordered Luke to get back to Bugsy while he himself would look for the intruder. Luke left. And a moment later...
Mr. Anderson!
What happened? Are you all right?
Oh, Bugsy. Yes. Yes, I'm all right. It's Mr. Anderson.
Oh. Let's see how he is. Yeah, got him right in the back.
He was standing right here when there were shots from the doorway. How is he?
Well, he's sort of dead. Did you see who done it?
No, Bugsy. It's pretty dark in the hall. Did you pass anybody when you came down the hall?
No, I didn't see nobody.
Oh, that's strange. You got here fast. There wasn't much time.
Well, he must have gone the other way.
Probably. How about Luke?
Gee, I don't know.
Well, Mr. Anderson told him to go back to you.
Well, he didn't come back. I ain't seen him. Hey, what's that?
I don't know.
Sounds like a fight. I'll go see.
I'll go with you.
Yeah, but first I gotta get the boss's gun. Luke got mine, you know. Oh, okay. Now, let's go. But stay behind me.
Yes, Bugsy.
All right, right down this way. Hey. Stay quick.
Well, somebody's getting away.
Yeah. Let's see, here's where they was fighting. That table's knocked over, that chair's all busted. Them rugs is all messed.
Yes, but where's Luke?
You're looking for somebody?
Luke.
Yeah. Okay, Bugsy. Drop that gun. I says drop it.
Sure, Luke. Sure.
Now stand back until I pick it up. Okay.
Gee, Luke, you got all the earmarks of fist marks. Who give you all them lacerations and confusion?
Never mind that. How's the boss?
Dead.
Oh. Well, then I'm taking over. I'm beginning to figure his angle anyway.
Luke, if I were you...
Yeah, but you ain't me.
Well, just the same, I have an idea.
Sure, and I know what it is. The boss let you put through a call to that copper with your sweet on you. So you get an idea if you can stall until he has time to trace the call and give
you... No, Luke, if you'd only listen...
No, die, sister. I don't fall for that idea.
Luke, please listen.
I got to start moving. And I have to be able to move easy. That means I move alone. And that means you and Bugsy stays here.
All right, Luke, but listen...
And just to make sure you stays here, just to make sure you don't get too many ideas, I'm going to plug you.
No, no, Luke,
shut up,
no.
Bugsy. You see, Miss Day, I get ideas, too. Only mine work.
For almost two centuries, Americans have enjoyed the valuable privileges of freedom. Now, freedom needs each American to dedicate himself to its preservation. We must not allow our liberties to be endangered by neglect of our duties as citizens. During this year of rededication, join with your fellow Americans in reaffirming the principles on which this country is founded and the safeguarding of those principles. Make it your business to see that federal, state, and local governments are conducted honestly. Help to maintain the good morale of your sons and daughters in the armed forces. Learn the facts about all candidates and issues. Then, vote for the one you believe in. Make the most of every minute on your job. Produce as much as you can, and thus increase our military and economic strength. Work for better schools and a better community. Guard your American heritage of freedom. It needs you.
9 out of 10 top Hollywood stars depend on Lux Soap facials to keep their skin just right for the camera.
There's a reason why this fragrant white soap is the choice of lovely women everywhere. Lux Soap facials really make skin lovelier. In recent tests, skin specialists found 3 out of 4 complexions became softer, smoother, in a short time. Thanks for reminding us that Lux Toilet Soap is Hollywood's own beauty soap. The right care for delicate skin.
The Mutual Broadcasting System presents I Love the Mystery. And Morse adventure thriller.
Who are you? What are you doing in my room?
I'm Jack Packard. This is Doc Long.
I still don't know who you are or what you're doing here.
Well, there are 3 of us. Reggie's out just at the moment. 3 men looking for adventure.
You mean soldiers of fortune?
Well, not in the ordinary sense, but the term does help to explain us. We like excitement. When we find something that interests us, we go after it.
And hearing me crying in my room interested you?
Yes. Now, if we can help you...
But you can't. Nothing will help but to put an end to my miserable life.
Hey, you stop talking like that.
You mean you came to this hotel with the intention of taking your own life?
Yes.
But you're young and beautiful.
And evil.
Hey, what kind of talk is that?
There's no use talking about it. Everywhere I go, I spread death and destruction.
You haven't told us your name yet.
Sonny Richards. Sonia, but they call me Sonny.
Say, that's swell. Sonny, you wipe them tears away and Sonny fits you like a paper on the wall.
You don't know what you're talking about.
You're beautifully dressed. That bracelet on your wrist must have cost a lot of money. Everything about you says money. You must have come from a very wealthy family.
There is no family. It's just me.
I see. Then you're wealthy in your own right.
Money, what good is it? What good when...
When what?
When everything I touch turns to dust and ashes under my fingers.
Do you mind explaining?
Why should I?
Tell us what's wrong and let us decide whether we can help you.
It's hopeless.
Now tell us. If we think it's hopeless, we'll walk out of here and let you go ahead and do what you intended to do.
Do you mean that?
I promise. Now then, what is it?
It's the Richard curse.
What do you mean?
Every other generation, it falls on some member of the family. 4 generations ago, it was my great aunt, 4 times removed. 2 generations ago, it was my grandmother. It always falls on one of the women. In this generation, it's me.
Well, what is this Richard curse?
The great aunt caused the death of her husband, and then she caused the death of her 4 children.
You mean she murdered
them? Oh, no. She loved them dearly. It was accidental. She was cleaning her husband's gun, and it went off and killed him. And the children were burned to death in their home. She'd locked them in while she was away from the house because they were so little. And when she came back, the house was burned
down. But accidents.
It's the curse. It's been in the family for generations.
Well, what about your grandmother?
Grandmother was kind and gentle. She wore a little knitted shawl around her shoulders, and she spent all her spare time reading her Bible. But she was cursed. When she was a little girl, the first man she loved was thrown from a horse and killed.
But that wasn't her fault.
Wait. The next man who loved her fell off a cliff to his death.
Was she there at the time?
No.
Well, then, don't you see how silly...
And then she married my grandfather. And after my mother and my uncle were born, he was drowned. And then when my uncle was 15, she shut him up in a closet to punish him. And he was suffocated.
Hey.
And it's always been that way. What are the women in every other generation?
And now what about you?
Well, I'm worse than any of them.
Maybe. Let's hear it.
First, it was my mother and father.
You was the cause of their death?
Yes. I wanted to be a flyer. I learned to pilot a plane. And one day I got them to go up with me.
The plane fell?
They were both killed.
Now, please. Please try not to cry.
Oh, it's all right. I haven't much cry left in me.
Here, use my handkerchief.
Thank you.
You were an only child?
Yes. But then about a year ago, I became engaged. Phil. We'd only been engaged 3 months when his car went over a cliff and it...
Dead, huh?
No. But he was so badly hurt, he'll always be a bedridden cripple.
Oh, fella, that's too bad.
He would have been better off if he had been killed.
But it wasn't your fault.
Wait. About 6 months ago, I began letting Roger come and see me. I was still in love with Phil, but I should go out a little. And one night, just as he was leaving my house, he was held up and shot.
Did they catch the gunman?
No.
Any more?
Yes. There was an old friend of my father's. He used to visit me sometimes, and about 4 months ago, he fell down the front steps at my house. And he was hurt so badly that he never recovered.
Hey, I'm beginning to think you got something with that curse.
I knew you'd believe me.
I don't.
But there's no other explanation. Things like that don't happen to other people.
You weren't connected in any way with any of these things. They're unfortunate, but you've nothing to do with them. You've let them prey on your mind until you've become morbid.
Morbid?
Yes, you've developed a guilt complex, if that's all.
It isn't. Yesterday, it happened again.
You mean somebody else died because of you?
Yes. I was to have had lunch yesterday with Freddy. I'd only met him a week ago. Well, he didn't keep the engagement, so I rang up his home. And you know what they told me? You know what had happened?
What?
Suicide. He killed himself with a gun in his bathroom.
Sonny, stop it. Yeah, that's it. Cry. It'll do you lots more good.
I wish I were dead. I wish I were dead.
Jack, this is awful.
Oh, go away. Go away and let me do what I've got to do.
We're not going anywhere.
But you promised.
I said we'd go if there wasn't anything we could do.
Oh, you can't.
I'd like to try.
Oh, you fools. You fools. Get out of here. Don't you understand? It'll happen to you, too.
What do you mean by that?
Everybody who comes near me is cursed, and you're the same as dead being in this room with me. Now go away. Go away. I can't bear anymore.
If we're willing to take that risk, what's it to you?
I don't want any more blood on my hands. I can't stand it. Don't you understand? I can't stand it.
You can stand it for 2 weeks, can't you?
Two weeks?
Yes. Give us 2 weeks to find out what's the matter.
Oh, I know what's the matter.
Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't.
Well, I don't know what you mean.
You say the Richard curses on you. All right. Give us 2 weeks to lay that curse.
Oh, you can't cure a curse.
I'll bet money we can.
But it's something evil in me. Something evil that will live and die with me.
And I say we can kill the curse without killing you.
You believe that?
Certainly I believe it. I believe it so much I'll make you a proposition. What? You give us 2 weeks to lay your curse, and if we fail by then, we leave you alone to destroy yourself without lifting a finger.
Oh, but your own lives are in danger.
We'll take that chance.
No, no, you mustn't. I'm nothing to you.
Hey, wait a minute, sugar. Of course you're something to us.
I am.
You're darn right you are. Well, this here world needs all the pretty little old female girls it can get.
I don't understand.
But Doc means you're beautiful. But it's always an unforgivable crime to destroy beauty.
Is that what you meant?
Well, yeah, I didn't say it is pretty, but that's the idea.
Put it this way. From the beginning of time, men have fought and died for beauty. It's one of the few things in the world worth fighting for. And you're a beauty. You're worth saving. We think you're worth enough to fight for you. And it's our right, and you can't stop us.
No one ever said anything like that to me before.
Then you agree?
Yes.
Now, under no circumstances, no matter what happens, you won't try to kill yourself for 2 weeks.
Yes. I promise.
Good. Now get up and go in the bathroom and wash the tears off your face.
Oh, I know I shouldn't hope. But I do.
Go on. Make yourself more beautiful than you are.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you asked for it, fella.
What do you mean?
Well, you know as well as I do you can't cure curses. What you think you are, a witch doctor?
Curse, huh?
Yeah, a curse.
In the vernacular of Archimedes, nuts.
Now, looky, Jack. 6 people connected to Sonny had been killed.
5 killed, 1 hurt.
But hurt so bad he might as well be dead. What was his name?
Phil.
Well, you can't tell me that all those folks just happened to die, and all within a year.
That does sound fishy. There must be a reason for it.
The Richard curse.
Something besides the Richard curse.
But there ain't no sense to that. They was all accidents. Well, anyway, ways that she couldn't have had nothing to do with. Her papa and mama in the plane crash, her lover Phil in the auto crash, one guy shot by a robber, and one fell downstairs, and the last one killing himself in his own bathroom.
Well, they don't seem to tie together very well, do they?
Except for the curse.
Now, look, Doc, I want you to stop mentioning that curse business.
But, Jack...
Especially in front of her. Never mention it.
Well, what's the idea?
I want her to forget it. Get it out of her mind. It's an unhealthy thought, and she can't have a healthy mind until she gets rid of it.
Well, son, all I got to say... Well, visitors.
Good evening, gentlemen.
You were looking for something?
Yes, Sonny Richard.
Sonny?
Just a minute, Doc. Who are you?
My name is Marks, Leslie Marks. I'm Miss Richard's attorney.
Attorney, huh?
And the executor of the Richards estate.
I see.
Now then, what right have you to question me? Who are you? What are you doing in Sonny's room?
We're friends of Miss Richards.
Friends?
That's what I said.
Friends. How long has this been going on?
Long enough.
Sonny hasn't been having many friends lately.
Why not?
Apparently you haven't been her friends long enough to hear of the Richard curse.
Are you one of the people who's been filling her mind with that sort of nonsense?
Pretty serious nonsense. 5 people killed, 1 injured for life.
I know all about that. Doc.
Yeah?
Tell Sonny to come out of the bathroom.
Sure, I'll get it.
How long have you known that Sonny was in this hotel?
I found out 15 minutes ago. I've had private operatives out looking for her ever since she disappeared from home this morning.
You know why she came here? So you do know.
I suspected. That's why I was so frantic to find her.
Marks. There, that's him and Jack.
Well, Sonny?
Hello, Leslie.
I've come to take you home.
All right.
We're going with you, you know.
What's that?
Why not? I've got the house all to myself.
Yes, but these men, who are they? What right?
We're taking the right. We're Sonny's bodyguard.
Well, that's ridiculous. Sonny is your attorney.
As Sonny's attorney, you can go take a jump at yourself.
So, you won't be warned.
About what?
The Richard curse.
Please, Leslie, please.
Listen, take your hand off me.
If I ever hear you mention that curse again in the presence of Sonny, I'll tear you limb from limb. Now get out.
Look here. Get out.
You get your things together, Sonny. We're going home with you.
You shouldn't have done that. He won't take that.
Shucks, honey. This is only the beginning. Only the beginning.
Further transcribed adventures of Jack, Doc, and Reggie will come to you tomorrow at this same hour. I Love a Mystery, written and directed by Carlton E. Morse, comes to you Monday through Friday, featuring Russell Thorson as Jack, Jim Bowles as Doc Long, and Tony Randall as Reggie York. Frank McCarthy speaking.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY with I Love a Mystery. First broadcast on radio on December 13th, 1949. We also heard an episode of Carolyn Day Detective. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online, nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows. On the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at the same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.